everybody. Guess who's running late? Yep, that would be me. Boy, I got covered up this morning and I could not get away long enough to record the podcast. But here I am. It's 1:20 and I'm recording it. We'll get started in just a second. Hope you're ready. Man alive, what a morning. If I told you everything that went on, you wouldn't believe me. You'd say that I led too exciting a life, but we're glad you're here. And we're up to the, let's see, where are we anyway? We're up to the sixth delightful thing that the Lord wants us to delight in as his children. Oh, let me catch my breath here. I had to run into the professional podcasting studio here after eating a very quick lunch, which I'm probably going to be sorry for in about 35 minutes. Well, so far in this series, we've looked at five things that God wants his people to delight in. So very, very quickly, here they are. God wants us to delight in him. God wants us to delight in his will. God wants us to delight in our future. God wants us to delight in his protection. And God wants us to delight in his word. God wants his people to be happy in this world. We all understand, however, that this world isn't all there is. So you can't get too happy or too comfortable with this world. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can be happy in the world, and the Lord enables you to enjoy the good things that the world has to offer. But you don't want to be so hooked on this stuff that you don't look forward to the Lord coming back, and you don't look forward to the next world. This world is really just a layover as far as the Christian is concerned. We were born into this world, but when we were born again, our citizenship changed. We were born into heaven. And when you look at it that way, it really puts things in perspective, doesn't it? As I said, God wants us, wants the citizens of his kingdom to be happy in this temporary earthly kingdom that they find themselves in. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Yep, that's right. Jesus Christ came to give man a chance at living a full life now. Now, we know that Jesus came to bring salvation to all who would believe in him and confess him as Lord and Savior. But I love that Jesus brought a little something else with him besides salvation from hell. He came to bring salvation from things like boredom in this world, misery in this world, depression in this world. See, living for Christ should make Christians the happiest, most joyful, and contented people on the face of the earth. If you don't believe me, if you're one of those dour Christians who thinks God wants you to be all serious and uptight all the time, what in the world do you do with verses like these? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. How about this one? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 25. And the second part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Christians are, as Paul notes in verse 25, supposed to be living by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. And that means, among other things, you, Mr. Dismal Christian, need to become a joyful Christian. God wants you to be happy, joyful, and he wants you to delight in certain things so that you'll be what he wants you to be. Now, the sixth thing God wants you to delight in is found, of all places, in the book of Job. So turn to the book of Job, about midway through the book of Job, Job 22. Job 22 says, submit to God and be at peace with Him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. So God wants you to submit to Him and His Word, because when you do, prosperity will come to you. Now, that's a good compromise translation of an extremely difficult verse to put into English thought and words. That was the TNIV. Now, let me give you a couple of alternate and I think worthy translations of Job 21:22 for you to think about. First, let's do the RSV, the good old RSV. Agree with God and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Isn't that nice? Agree with God and be at peace. Therefore good will come to you. Let's try the New King James Version. Now acquaint yourself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. And that's pretty close to the RSV, isn't it? Let's do one more. Let's do the Amplified. Now yield and submit yourself to Him, bracket, agree with God and be conformed to His will, bracket, and be at peace. In this way, bracket, you will prosper, and great, bracket, good will come to you. Now, whatever translation you're looking at, that's a powerful invitation right there. It's very important advice. But as those of you who have studied Job, and we actually did this not too long ago, this advice was not the advice Job needed to hear. Eliphaz, friend of Job's, who said this to the suffering Job, was speaking out of ignorance. He didn't have all the facts. He didn't know why Job was suffering. That said, this is still the best advice anybody could heed. And there are Christians hearing me today who should pay attention to the words of Eliphaz. To agree with God, or to acquaint yourself with Him, or to yield and submit yourself to Him, are things every single Christian ought to be doing all the time. Eliphaz gave a worthy piece of advice here. But he wasn't the only person in the Bible who saw the importance of living at peace with God through knowing Him. Take a look at Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28, one of the classic verses of the New Testament, of the Gospels. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus talking. And that's a marvelous, marvelous invitation that all of us need to hear sometimes, isn't it? Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matter of fact, verses 28 to 30 of Matthew 11 are some of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. And it would do you well to memorize them, because at some point in your life, you're going to need to know God this way. Matthew 11:28 from the TNIV. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But reading on, it says in verse 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Yeah, if anybody knew what it was like to feel lonely, depressed, discouraged, and frustrated, hopeless, and abandoned, it was Jesus. He knew exactly how that felt. He felt everything you feel, only much, much worse, because He's the eternal Son of God. He would never say to somebody who was weary and burdened, He would never say, come on, get with it, snap out of it, buck up, get over yourself. Ooh, He would never say that. Our Lord came to save all people. All people. Happy people, sad people, burdened people. discouraged people, lonely people, frustrated people. He invites all people to come to him for rest, for relief, the kind of relief only he can give. Literally, Jesus says, "I will rest you." That's the Greek, "I will rest you." It's a powerful statement of the stronger one stepping in to do for the weaker one what the weaker one can't do for himself. Have you ever had trouble relaxing? I bet some of you, maybe not all of you, but I bet some of you have great difficulty stopping your brain. It's like it runs all the time, doesn't it? I bet some of you get so frustrated with yourself because your mind seems to have a mind of its own. You just can't turn it off. You come home for work. You're supposed to work from 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or something, but you can't turn your brain off when you walk out of your workplace. You come home, you're cooking supper or you're eating supper or you're trying to watch TV after supper, and all you can think about is stuff going on at work or stuff you're going to have to do tomorrow morning because you couldn't get it done today. Have you ever been so wound up after a tough day at work, or how about this, a tough week at work, that it literally took you all weekend to unwind only to start all over again first thing Monday morning? Jesus promises that there is immediate rest for people like you if you come to him. See, this world wears us down and it wears us out. Dealing with the sins of others as they affect us can really take its toll on our emotional health. And our sins can be a terrible burden to deal with too. Jesus says that he can help out with that. But we have to come to him. Of course, the ultimate rest is salvation from sin. But once again, never forget that Jesus came to make it possible for all people to live the best life possible in the here and now. You will certainly find rest for your soul when you exit this world. But you know what? It's possible to find another kind of rest right now, today, when you need it. When you start planning your life around the Word of God and serving Him, you will finally find that elusive rest everybody is looking for. To pick up Christ's yoke is to completely surrender and submit to His authority. Now, that scares some people, I know. Even some Christians who imagine they have perfected the art of living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. That would be about 3/4 of the American church. The trouble is, when you do that, you aren't getting much from either world. To pick up Christ's yoke means once and for all committing your life totally to Him, serving Him to the very best of your ability, obeying the teachings of the Word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote this. Let me get the exact wording because I usually paraphrase it. I don't want to do that with you guys. Hang on, let me look here. Okay, listen to this. Grace is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow Him. It is grace because Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't that interesting? Let's read that again. And just listen carefully. I wish you could see the words. But just listen. Grace is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow Him. It is grace because Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So to all those who think that following Jesus is like dreadfully humdrum, monotonous, or a prosaic life, our Lord declares it's the exact opposite. Grace makes following Jesus exciting, and being filled with the Holy Spirit makes it possible. This was essentially what Eliphaz was getting to back in the book of Job. Submit to God and be at peace. Submit to God and good things will start coming your way. It's very interesting that in the Hebrew, the word translated as submit also means get acquainted with or get to know. In other words, get acquainted with God, get to know God, submit to God. Get to know God and get to know what He wants from you, right? Get to know God and you'll get to know what He can do for you. Now, Eliphaz told Job if he did those things, things would start breaking his way. A.W. Tozer, in his classic work, The Knowledge of the Holy, and if you have not read that, I suggest you get a copy of it. It's not very long, but it's one of the most powerful books that you will ever read, The Knowledge of the Holy. And here's what he said. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Isn't that truth? What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And that's the supreme need of every Christian, to think rightly about God, to know God deeply, and to know God well. Can you hear that? That's my dogs. My deck is covered in leaves. Literally, we went from a green mountainside on Friday to a mountainside of red and yellow on Monday. And of course, it's now Wednesday and a lot of those leaves are on my deck. We had kind of a chilly, rainy weekend. Didn't take long for those leaves to change. Now, where was I? Bet you thought I'm lost. I'm not. I know exactly where I am. So you have to think rightly about God. And you have to get to know God deeply and to know Him well, right? The problem is, too many Christians think they know God, but really they know something about a version of God in their minds that probably doesn't accurately reflect the reality of His person. A lot of Christians are like the people the psalmist writes about in Psalm 115. Take a look at Psalm 115, verses 3 to 5. Psalm 115, verses 3 to 5. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Ooh, that's a powerful group of verses right there. Appropriating all the benefits of knowing God only works if you know the right God. And you get to know the right God through spending time in His Word. That's the revelation of Himself to you. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to you. The Apostle Paul knew the importance of knowing God, and in his prayer for his friends in Ephesus, he said something to God so important, so singularly powerful, we need to have a quick look at it. It's Ephesians 1, 17 to 18. Paul's prayer to God. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, now listen to this, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His people. Boy, that's an all-important phrase in two verses that I hope you see. The eyes of your heart, when it comes to knowing God. It's not the eyes of your mind, but rather the eyes of your heart that must understand Him. That is to say, the eyes of your inner person. So you can be a genius who is able to grasp all kinds of difficult concepts, but that doesn't mean you'll be able to understand deep spiritual truths. Your heart, your inner man, not your head, must be brought into alignment with what the Bible says about God. Now, never forget what Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, this is Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, in your inner man, that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart, your inner man, that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And that's a tricky proposition, folks. The prophet Jeremiah understood something most of us don't. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? God wants our hearts to get to know Him. He wants to teach us by His Spirit through the Word. The problem is, a lot of Christians are so spiritually dull and witless. They are busy depending on their preacher or K-Love or the latest Christian bestseller to teach them something important about God. What you need, what all believers need, is to get into the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to teach your heart about God. And He will. He will. Listen to me. Preachers, K-Love, Christian bestsellers, they all have their place. Please don't get me wrong. But nothing can take the place of God's Word. God wants you to know Him. To know Him is to delight in Him. And you cannot separate God from His Word. All right? All right. Let's bow our heads and pray, because I can tell you that this is something that a lot of believers have difficulty with. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today and we acknowledge our great failing. We do not take Your Word seriously enough. Either we don't read it nearly as often as we should, or we read it half-heartedly, or we read it and we don't think about it, we don't consider it. We treat it like trivia when we should be treating it like an essential part of living. So Lord, give us a greater desire to know Your Word, to study it. Give us a greater desire, Lord, to put the teachings of Your Word into work in our lives. Help us, Lord, to live the truth of Your Word, so that we may be a blessing to You and a blessing to others, and so that we may adequately reflect Your glory in this world. Lord, I pray that today You would bless all those who tuned into the podcast. Bless them, Lord. Anoint their ears to hear You speaking to them, and Lord, anoint their lives so that they may be a blessing to all those they come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, all right, folks, once again, I apologize for being tardy with today's podcast, but I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that the Lord blesses you, and I hope that you have a great rest of the day. Now, we'll see you in 48 hours, give or take, for Friday's edition of the podcast when we bring to a conclusion this current series of study. Until then, have a great week, and we'll see you soon.